Welcome to Law Matters for another fortnight, brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Good to have your company. Jodie Hoffman and Wayne Nanup in the studio with you for the next hour. Big program to get through as well, but before we start, a shout out to our listeners around the country, whether you're listening in through 100.9 FM in Boolu on Noongar Radio or Wurundjeri Media in Kununurra in the very north of Western Australia, or Derby through 6DBY, Tumapo Polka perhaps in Kalgoorlie, or nationally through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Great to have your company on this program. Been bringing this show to you for the last 16 years, proudly produced and presented by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia, which has been going for longer than 16 years, been going for 51 years, in fact. So we've got a lot to talk about, and Wayne Nanup is my co-host on the program today. Welcome to the program, Wayne. How you been?
Going well, thanks, Jodie, and hello to all the listeners out there.
We've got a busy show, and at first, I guess what has, you know, torn the hearts out of so many people across the country in the last week is Kumanjai little baby. We're not going to talk very much about this out of respect for the family and community, because, of course, it is a sorry business. There are also legal proceedings underway. But we do have a message for community, don't we, Wayne?
Yeah, I think from our point of view, we are feeling the effects of this right across the nation. And from ALSWA, we send all our condolences to the family. We respect this time as sorry business time, and I reflect on our senior man, Mr. Granite, and his comments, and we'll abide by those and allow the process to go through now.
On that, we will just let you know, it's widely publicised that there will be nationwide vigils held for Kumanjai little baby on the 7th of May, Thursday the 7th of May, and I'm giving you the date because, of course, this program is repeated, so you might be actually listening to this program when those vigils have already taken place. But check your local community news outlets for more information on the nationwide vigils happening on the 7th of May in Perth. It is at 6 o'clock in Forest Chase in Boolu. Where do we start, Wayne? I don't know. There just seems to be a never-ending storyline for injustice here in Western Australia. A few episodes of this program ago, spoke to a lovely elder on the program called Di Ryder. Di served over 20 years in the Army and loved her time in the Army. Was very proud of the role that she plays in Reconciliation Week in educating people about the role of our First Nations veterans who, let's face it, you know, went off to war, you know, alongside their brothers and sisters, but came back to no entitlements like the non-Indigenous counterparts. She was the elder giving the welcome to country in Boolu at the dawn service for Anzac Day, and she, like other elders in the eastern states, were booed during that welcome. How do you see that?
I think, well, the first thing is The day is about respecting our past soldiers and present soldiers, and that's the most important thing. My reflection on this is we have a senior woman who served, an Aboriginal woman who served, and with pride she gave the welcome to country at the dawn service. And for this to again raise its heads, because it's not the first time, I think it's very disappointing, and what it does is reflect badly on those people who firstly don't acknowledge that we are the first people of this country, but also are being disrespectful to those who have served.
It's, you know, it seems to be a concerted group who are getting together. We notice it on our Facebook page posts, vile, vile comments that we just go, block, you know, take that somewhere else. We don't want to hear that racist stuff. People seem to be wanting to go to these events and deliberately upset them.
Yeah, there's definitely a strategy around this, for sure. I mean, they're trying to make the point about, you know, first Australians not being first Australians. They're really making a point about, to me, it sits in the wheelhouse of racism. And I, the problem for us is over the, over our journeys and our life experiences, we've become a little bit immune to this type of behaviour. But it's more prevalent today than I've ever seen it. Whether it's through social media, what we're seeing in the shift in politics, where people are going to, and I think it's just it's really unsettling for us as First Nations, but also for new immigrants and immigrants that have been here for a long time.
And you know what it does show is a complete lack of education, knowledge, understanding, willingness to learn from the people who make up the numbers in these groups, when they kind of go, oh, who needs a welcome to country? I don't want to be welcome to my own country. I mean, it's, they just don't get it, do they? No. It's not what it's about.
No, it's not what it's about, but it's it, it is it sits in respect. But not only that, it's on an occasion like this, it's a special moment for all Australians. And I just think it's disappointing that people will take that view and share their views openly the way they are.
We're going to be covering a lot of issues in the next hour on Law Matters. A tragic case of a death in custody in April last year in Kalgoorlie, which has a horrific history of deaths in custody. We're going to talk about the outcome of some inappropriate police behaviour following that death in custody. We'll also remind you about some writs that have been lodged by the Aboriginal Legal Service on behalf of six prisoners of Hakea Prison in WA. We'll be giving you an update on where's our office at since that dreaded fire of 2025 that gutted the head office of the Aboriginal Legal Service in Aberdeen Street, Perth. We'll be giving a shout out, we'll do that now, shout out to the Blackstone Society, which is the UWA students of law. Every year they give our organisation the opportunity to take place in the Law Careers Fair. It was held this week at the Perth Convention Centre. And you know what? That our stall there, Wayne, always gets a lot of interest. Not only have we got deadly promo items and really eye-catching stuff, yeah, but it provides a different aspect of the law that perhaps some people at the end of their law journey haven't considered working in a place like the ALS. Would you agree?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And the thing about working with ALSWA as a lawyer or court officer or in any role at all is gives you a breadth of experience that you will not get anywhere else. And the beauty of being coming in as a young lawyer, RP, and then going on into being a senior lawyer is that you will get a wealth of experience that you won't get anywhere else, and you'll be able to position yourself to get to a point where you can run trials in the district court, and that doesn't happen everywhere.
And I'd like to encourage everyone to jump on your computers or your phones and check out our brand new website, because it's been a long time in the making, I can tell you that right now. But you'll see the breadth of our services. It's just incredible how this organisation has grown over the last over 50 years in terms of the services that we are providing for our communities throughout Western Australia. So that's www.als.org.au, www.als.org.au. We've got a lot to talk about, but first let's pause and have a listen to this song from Nocturnal. It's a song called Sail Away.
Sail away.
Make me see my wicked ways. taking on water, but I can't swim. Another mess somebody put me in. This is not what I had in mind. Well, how could I have been so blind? Sail away, sail away to nowhere. Sail away, sail away to nowhere.
This is the Law Matters program. Jody Hoffman and Wayne Nanup with you on the program this week. Thank you for tuning in. And look, just want to, you know, on this program sometimes we talk about some pretty heavy issues. So just need to remind you that if any of the topics that we do discuss raise any issues of concern for you, you can call 13 Yarn 139276. 13 Yarn is a 24/7 service where you can yarn with mob about any issues. Doesn't matter how small they are, doesn't matter how large they are. You won't be judged. You can talk confidently and confidentially with the mob at 13 Yarn. So 139276. And of course there's Lifeline 13 11 14. Recently there was the news that 6 WA police officers have been sanctioned over the treatment of an Aboriginal man who died in Kalgoorlie prison. Talking about the death last year in April of 31-year-old Linton Ryan, who died in his cell at Kalgoorlie prison. At the time, a constable dismissed his warnings of self-harm. It's recently come to light that 6 WA police officers have been given managerial sanctions over their treatment of a man who took his life in the Eastern Goldfields Regional Prison. As if that wasn't horrific enough, after his death, an officer sent a voicemail to a friend which clearly highlighted his dismissive attitude to the tragedy and ended, would you believe it, with a giggle. So what's the outcome of this here in Western Australia? Well, the WA police have confirmed that 6 police were sanctioned, managerial sanctions. It basically means they get a slap on the wrist and can do better. The one who sent the laughing voice message is back on full duties. The other 5 were sanctioned for custody procedures. Oh, and by the way, one of those 5 is a senior officer. Keystone Cops or what, Wayne Lennup?
Yeah, another a distressing situation for Mr. Ryan and the family. The responses are, from our point of view, they're an internal assessment of themselves, an internal inquiry, which they then come to the sanction of a managerial sanction, which is basically what you've just described as a slap on the wrist. For us to, as human beings, to be better, we have to adhere to the fact that Mr. Ryan was a human being, And he should have been afforded those considerations around what he was advising to people about self-harming and taken seriously. This case is unfortunately not isolated. It's happened in the past, and police need to do better.
Peter Collins is the Director of Legal Services with the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA, and in response to that, he said that it is entirely predictable that the police involved in the contemptible treatment of Mr. Ryan would receive nothing more than a slap on the wrist and effectively be given the green light to continue on their merry way. He continued saying that the treatment of Mr. Ryan that Mr. Ryan received at the hands of police in Kalgoorlie is no outlier. Hardly a day goes by without elsewhere hearing of police treating Aboriginal people despicably and in ways that deny their humanity. All the signs are that that sorts of behaviours and attitude which underpinned the police treatment of Mr. Ryan are deeply entrenched within the WA police, will be repeated time and time again, and there is no appetite whatsoever to change this awful reality. Peter Collins continued, all the more so given that there are more Aboriginal people coming into contact with police than ever before. Projections from the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA Custody Notification Service reflect that close to 50,000 Aboriginal people will be arrested this year, the highest numbers in the country. The numbers point up what police and the state government have their head in the sand about, that the relationship between police and the Aboriginal people in this state is at an all-time low and that closing the gap is an illusion. That was the comments from Peter Collins. Very strong comments, but Peter has been involved in the WA justice system in this state for getting on to 30 years, so he knows what he's talking about, hey?
He certainly does, and I concur with his comments, absolutely. I think there's great scope here for ways in which we try to improve relationships with police, and certainly from our office we do endeavour to do that. But we're coming off a very low base, and the reality of that is the way in which police have interacted with our mob over many, many years has put us to the point where this angst always exists and it's not removed. So my reflection is, if you're sitting in a car and you see a police officer's car coming along, it's, you just go, look out, Munnarch.
Mm.
I mean, and the kids duck. Mm. I mean, this is unfortunately the reality of what's been born over many years. So that resistance and that conflict is going to exist for as long as we're around, until such times as we all think about, as police, as the state, and the Commonwealth, and as Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islanders, how we are able to move forward and not have this expectation. We have an expectation of having better care. Police are there to serve community, and we are deserving of that right as well. So unless we actually come to some sort of a better understanding of our situations, etc., the way in which I look at some of the programs I'm involved in is not about escalation. It's about creating a relationship first and how do we de-escalate. Mm. Because when you're dealing with, when I'm dealing with difficult circumstances with our women in particular, things blow up. And when they blow up, because, you know, if you've got a house where mum's looking after kids, and, you know, dad's been away, but dad comes back and there's some disturbance there, you want police going there with understanding of how to de-escalate and not escalate. Now, I know that I will meet with the commission and the commissioner will say, this is our practice, mm-hmm. these are our norms, we look to de-escalate. But that de-escalation is assisted by having a relationship in the first place. So if you can establish that relationship and understanding, then that's the way it will roll, instead of more angst and more charges and more arrests, because that's what's happening right now.
And, you know, we've got to remember that the police relations is historical as well. I mean, it was police who came in and took the children, you know, ordered go and take those children away. So there is that historical relationship of mistrust. Mm. And, you know, those meetings with the Commissioner are really, really important, because it's organisations like the Aboriginal Legal Service that can give those day-to-day examples of where the system is failing and where that mistrust is not being fixed between mob and police. And, you know, a clear example that was received international attention in recent weeks was the off-duty cop on the train in Perth, sitting on a 13-year-old Aboriginal girl, and it totally inappropriate action. So, one footstep forward and three back, isn't it?
I mean, looking at that, that vision was really confronting. And what I take out of that is everyone will form their own view on that. But when you have a social media platform that shuts something down because they believe it's wrong, it tells you a lot about what's, you know, the first thing we should be talking about is, you know, is that young girl, is she okay?
Yes.
Was she injured?
Yes.
No, it's the flip of that. When it's reported, all I got was from mainstream is that she slapped or hit the off-duty police officer in the face or head or wherever it was. Nothing about what she endured during that time, because it's clearly that she was, stressed and distressed. But no account from a lot of mainstream online news about, was that girl okay? Just tells me a lot.
I can't believe, as a 60-plus-something woman, how traumatic I would find that as an adult who knows a little bit about how the system works and how things aren't always done the correct ways. But for a 13-year-old child to go through that, I can't... Yeah. How does she feel next time she steps onto a train? How does she tell if someone out of uniform is a cop or not? It boggles the mind in terms of how traumatic that must have been. And you know what? Where were the bystanders helping out? You know, it's just amazing.
No, none to be seen. I sort of reflect on policing when I was young. And the policing when I was young in a country, growing up in a small country town, shout out to Three Springs, effectively... Police officer, he was part of the community. Yeah. Everyone knew him. Everyone knew Mr. Olympus. Hope you're out there listening, Mr. Olympus. And everyone respected him and respected the uniform. And we learnt that from our families, that, you know, that person has a role to play. And I've seen him. I actually seen him in actual action of de-escalation.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely the right way to deal with a situation. But today, a young girl who's 13 on a bus, and there's some sort of confrontation, and then you've got what occurred after that, is just, I can't imagine my daughters going through that. It would just be, it would be difficult for them to recover properly from that over a long period of time.
So we will be watching very closely to see what the outcome of that is as well. This is the Law Matters program, brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. That's already halfway through our program, but that's where we're going to leave some of the heavy subjects that we've touched on in the first half hour. We're going to go through some general news, some positive news and all that in the second half of that program. But once again, if any of the issues we've discussed have raised any issues of concerns for you, 13 Yarn 139276 or Lifeline 13 11 14. Let's pause and have a listen to this.
Kaya, kaya nanonot, kaya nanonotet, nija buja, nala buja, nija buja windage, nija nalang dirt, nija nalang wanking. Don't you, yo? Ni ngan wanking.
It's time to bring back the language with Joe Collard.
Today we will look at neck, chin and throat. So for neck, we say nanak, nanak. Nanak is spelled N-A-N-G-A-G. Nanak, nanak is your neck. Chin, we say yet, yet for chin. Yet is spelt Y-E-D. Yet. Yet is your chin. For throat, we say wort. For throat, we say wort. Wort is spelt W-O-O-R-D. Wort. And that was today's lesson.
This has been brought to you by Brudia in partnership with Noongar Radio. All the do is talk, talk, talk on the radio, talk, talk, talk on the TV, want, want, want all the time, and ain't, ain't, ain't what you need, buy, buy, buy what they're selling, buy the lies that they're telling, you do well not to listen, business ain't in the business, don't be the rat, God in the child, what is this race that you're running, ooh, don't you feel like stuck in a wheel when you realize the cow is so cunning, oh, ain't no fool, nah, 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 no lie, 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 oh, ain't no fool, nah, 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 no lie, lie, lie. Take, take, take those aplenty, drain the well till it's empty, greed may try to devour, people still have the power, cut and run with the loot, or keep on digging for truth to justify what we do, oh, we must think of the future.
Yeah, that's Moju and a song called Get Fooled here on Noongar Radio, National Indigenous Radio Service, Wurundjeri Media, 6DBY in Derby and Tjumapulka in Kalgoorlie. Law Matters brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. This program is on each fortnight. And look, if you miss it, fear not. It is repeated on various platforms, but all programs go onto the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA website after broadcast. So if you go to our new website, www.als.org.au, and click on Law Matters Radio Programs, you can listen to all of the programs that we've done since 2010. May's always a busy, busy month. A lot of stuff coming up in May. There's Sorry Day on the 26th of May. It's Reconciliation Week starting on the 27th of May. Law Society, it's Law Week, from the 18th to the 22nd of May. Law Access, Walk for Justice on the 19th of May. This is a great annual event. I know you've been involved with it previously, Wayne, but for our listeners who aren't aware of it, at Law Access, Walk for Justice, is an annual event that celebrates the pro bono work of the legal profession in Western Australia, and it raises funds for Law Access. It's a charitable organisation that facilitates the giving of pro bono legal assistance to those who cannot afford a lawyer. Their vision is for equal access to justice for all West Australians. Hear, hear. A lot of our staff take part in this every week, Wayne. It's an important event, isn't it? But, I mean, when you look at like the Aboriginal Legal Service and what our charter is to provide access to justice for some of the most vulnerable people in our state, but then our legal team and administration team take part in this to raise money more generally for those who don't have access to justice either.
Yeah, no, it's a fantastic ongoing initiative, and a shout out to the organisers. Our pro bono work in our space is incredibly important, and there is a charge or a charter for legal firms to actually provide those services, and we as the Aboriginal Legal Services certainly lean into our partners around pro bono, and they're very generous in supporting us throughout that. So it's only just makes sense that we will champion the event as we should, and staff will participate. So well done to Law Access for the initiative, but also well done to our staff for our continued support.
It's not too late to get involved either. The Law Access Walk for Justice takes place. Starts off at 7:30 in the morning in Borloo, and it's on the 19th of May. I think it's a Tuesday, but check your calendar. Just Google Law Access Walk for Justice, find out more about the event, find out more how you can assist or take part, and maybe just Google Aboriginal Legal Service and donate to our awesome team who do a great job. It does lead into Law Week. Law Week this year is being held between the 18th and the 22nd of May. The focus for 2026 is justice, connection and community. Wow, wouldn't it be a happy place if that's the world we lived in, of justice, community and connection, Wayne?
It would be. It would be ideal, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Not asking much.
Not asking much at all. We'd probably have less to do. That would be nice.
Oh, would be nice. You know, wouldn't it be good to work in a business where an increased client base meant that you were doing a good job, but it's the opposite for the Aboriginal Legal Service.
Yes, I've reflected on this many times, and I sort of when the transition was on, when Dennis Egerton, the former CEO, was on his way into semi-retirement, he just said to me, a measure of success for us is less contact with our service.
Yeah.
And where does that happen? Well, it doesn't happen anywhere, really. So that's the wish for us. So to be successful, have less people touch our office. Mm. That's the drive, I think.
Yeah. I would encourage anyone who's got an interest in law, perhaps you're studying it, perhaps you're thinking about studying law, or you just care and have an interest in what's happening in the arena of law and justice. Law Week does happen from the 18th to the 22nd of May. It has a whole swag of events. Most of them are free that you can head along to and take part in. Law Week highlights issues affecting access to justice and actively builds community awareness and understanding of the law, the legal system and the legal profession. Head to the Law Society of WA website. They publish a full program of all the events that are happening in your area, not just in Borloo, but across Western Australia. So lots happening there as well. Sorry Day is coming up. Really important day on our calendar. Happens every year on the 26th of May. National Sorry Day remembers and acknowledges the mistreatment of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who were forcibly removed from family and community. It really does amazing job these days of acknowledging the strength of our mob, of our survivors of the stolen generations, and reflects on how we can all play a part in the healing process for our people and our nation. Interestingly enough, the National Sorry Day emblem is the native hibiscus, which was put forward to the National Sorry Day Committee by the Kimberley Stolen Generation Aboriginal Corporation to be considered as the national emblem because it's an extremely resilient plant, and it was accepted. So if you head to the Kimberley Stolen Generation Aboriginal Corporation, you can purchase those beautiful silk flowers to wear and show your support for our Stolen Generations on the 26th of May. It's an important event, isn't it, Wayne? You know, so many families have been affected through former government policies where our mob were forcibly removed. I don't know of many families that wouldn't have been affected.
No, it's, I would say all families have been affected by it right across the nation. And it is an important day. It's an important time to reflect on Stolen Generations, which is... when I sort of think about... what my grandmothers and my grandfather experienced during their time of being taken away, I sort of think of what does that look like in the context of today. And whilst it's incredibly important that we recognise the Stolen Generations of the past, we have to keep our eye on what's happening today and ensure that particularly young kids that are going into systems... being dislocated and also separating from family, I think there's a we need to keep our eye heavily on that.
This year in Boolloo in Perth, there are a couple of events. Well, there is an event but happening across two venues. There's going to be a smoking ceremony and a welcome to country at 10:30 a.m. at the Stolen Generations Memorial on the southeast corner of Hill and Wittenoom Streets in East Perth. Following that, everyone will move to the Health Department Theatrette, which is part of the H&C Cafe building on the northwest corner of Hill and Wittenoom Streets in East Perth. Bringing them home, WA and Yokai, Healing Our Spirit, will be showcasing the Missions Connect virtual reality tools, which have been developed in partnership with Curtin University. This Stolen Generations VR educational professional development and healing tool has been developed to promote truth-telling and reconciliation within Western Australia. And the tools engage individuals with the history and continuing impacts of the Stolen Generations through immersive 3D mission environments, survivor testimonies, historical imagery and guided self-reflection. And it's going to be an interesting experience, and, you know, get a bit scared of technological advances in some areas, but that is a really positive one where you can step back in time and understand what it was really like and feel like you're actually there. So do check that out and keep an eye out for the Yokai Healing Our Spirit Facebook page to keep you up to date with what's happening there. But of course the other event happening, organised by Yokai and bringing them home in WA, is on the same day, Tuesday 26th of May, kicking off at 10:30 in the morning until 2 p.m, the annual Sorry Day in Boolloo at Wananui in Wellington Square, Wellington Street, top end of Perth. Oh, what else have we got coming up, Wayne? There's just Reconciliation Week. I know this time last year you would have been busily preparing for your presentation to a couple of law firms for Reconciliation Week. It's an important thing, isn't it? I mean, we talk about cultural load of mob, and you know how we always have to kind of go above and beyond, and we've got to, it's our role to educate other people. But when you're passionate about how important that education is, it's something you do take on board, isn't it?
Absolutely, and it's when you think about it, if you can affect one person, that person can affect other people. But if you get a group of about 20 or 25, then you know they're going to infect a lot of other people in relation to the content that we're talking about. And reconciliation sometimes is it's just about education. I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done. I think a lot of that work has been stymied to some extent because of what happened out of The Voice and Truth Treaty and Voice. Sorry, listeners. But yeah, that's been I think it's been stymied. But I know RecWA are working really hard. They'll continue to work hard, and I think that. There's great value in us telling our stories and being able to share, because sometimes that piece of ignorance is addressed in that one session.
Yep. Yeah. You know, and a lot of racism stems from ignorance, doesn't it? You know, just that fear of the unknown. I don't know that, or I don't know an Aboriginal person, and I know what I read in the media or hear on the radio. Education plays a massive role, hey?
It does, and a small reflection on that is being invited to go to a government department many years ago and just speak about what Sorry Day meant. And some of the feedback I got prior to that was that a lot of people in the audience will question, why do I have to say sorry? It's symbolic, in a sense. And I remember my father talking about this and saying, will it change our community? And I had to sort of think about that and unpack that over a bit of time. But what did resonate with me on that day, that statement was made, was looking at the elders in the room, looking at the emotion, and it shifted me. And I just went, it meant a lot in that regard. And much respect to my dad, but we need to see change, and that's where he was coming from. What's happening on the ground that's changing?
Yeah, and, you know, it's just, you know, our voices have been stifled for so long. We haven't been listened to. We haven't had a platform with Aboriginal radio now across the nation. We've got a voice and we can be heard. But, you know, a lot of that is playing to people who are already on board. So we need to reach those broader areas and make an impact, just because that acknowledgement, you're saying, you know, the elders in that room and how much it meant to them. It's like, finally, people are hearing the true history of this country.
Yeah, absolutely, and it moved me to watch what was going on in that room, to the extent of it means a lot, and it's been a long time coming, and it's overdue, but it needs to be a balance with what's happening around closing the gap, for example.
Mm.
You know, what changes are being made there? Are we improving there? Well, no, we're not.
Mm.
It's been 10 years of backwards, sideways. Not a lot going forward, and particularly in our space where we're overrepresented in prisons and detentions, et cetera, et cetera, can't be acceptable anymore. So I guess that's what, you know, what is that, what's materialised in change from that point? Well, one is fantastic recognition, and there's an emotional content to that, but on the ground, are we improving?
Yeah.
That's where we need to be focused on.
Wayne Nanup, CEO of the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia, and Jodie Hoffman with you. We haven't got heaps of time to go left on the program, but just talking about that, if there are any organisations or community groups listening, we're always open to receiving inquiries about coming and having a yarn with you at a community organisation or within an organisation itself, a government organisation, anything, to give you an insight into the work of the Aboriginal Legal Service. We also do community legal education, which will be at stalls. We're at stalls this week in Bulloo and I imagine different parts of the state as well. But if you've got any inquiries that, you know, you would like us to come to you, or you would like to be part of any workshops or stalls that we're holding, just email cle@als.org.au. cle@als.org.au. This is the Law Matters program. Let's have a listen to this beautiful version of Great Southern Land by Mitch Tambo. We'll be back shortly.
Thank you.
It's a great version, isn't it? Mitch Tambo, Great Southern Land, here on the Law Matters program, proudly brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Well, it's been a big program. Thank you for staying with us throughout this program. Touched on some pretty heavy stuff, but, you know, it's stuff that needs to be talked about if we want to have change moving forward and a better go for our mob, not just here in Western Australia, but throughout the country. Last year in Perth, in March, last week of March from my memory, there was a devastating fire at the head office of the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia at 7 Aberdeen Street in Perth. A faulty paper shredder went up in flames late in the evening. You would have been one of the ones that received a call about that time, Wayne.
Yeah, I still remember standing down there at 10:30 at night.
Bellows of smoke coming out of the building.
Absolutely. It was pretty, it was pretty intense.
Yeah.
But I stupidly thought that it's okay, we'll be business as usual before you know it. But I was so far away from that, the truth of that.
Ah, you know, and it was very surreal because only months earlier we'd celebrated our 50th commemorations and it was a time of reflecting on people and events of that last 50 years, and that office has played a large role in the history of the Aboriginal Legal Service. So, of course, the fire gutted the bottom story. There was a lot of historical items that were lost, things that couldn't be retrieved because there was paper toners and everything in the same room as the where the fire started, which gave off a toxic element as well. A massive challenge for yourself and our board and our management team to keep things on track because, of course, things still have to happen like daily court appearances, but you've got no office to work from.
No, it was quite destabilising, to say the least. And I can't thank the board and senior management for the work they did. And then for our staff to be able to pick themselves up and get to work, basically, with nothing, starting from scratch. And I think I've reflected before on radio that when you have that event occur and the next day everybody's at work, ready to work, and then have to trudge off to court or just go about our administrative duties with nothing. And I think the biggest disconnect out of that is with community during that time. That was always a challenge, and I'll be very pleased when we're back in there soon.
So it is over a year since the fire. Where are things at now and when will people go back in? Because at the moment there's one end of the building that's being accessed temporarily for some of the units. There are other staff in off-site temporary accommodation. When will things be back to normal, if there is such a thing?
Well, I think we're all looking forward to going back. That's the first thing. And I think the last quarter of this year, I'm fairly confident that we'll be back in at 7 Aberdeen, and that'll be a time to celebrate for us all. We're fortunate enough for programs have been back in for a while down the other end of the building, and they've been ticking along nicely. But getting all our other staff back to Aberdeen Street is a priority. I know family have been there as well for a bit of time now. But once we're all back there, we'll have a bit of a celebration about that. And we're probably looking at sometime around September, fingers crossed.
Oh, that will be good. It'll be incredible to think that it's taken so long, but it will be a good fresh start as well. I think, you know, out of all the negatives we have in life, you've really got to look at the positives, and that will be a positive and moving forward for the next 50 years, won't it?
Well, it will strengthen us. That's exactly what it's done. And, you know, I can't thank enough the way in which staff have been able to respond to this. And now we're looking at going back, and we'll pick it up again, and we'll make sure, because I know, you know, we've got community as the most important thing. And when you're disconnected to community, that's a real challenge. But everyone knows where we are.
Good stuff. Well, that brings us to the end of Law Matters for another fortnight. Thank you so much for your company and your support of our program. If you would like legal advice, you can call our free call number from anywhere in Western Australia, 1800 1800 019 900. You can check out all of our news and great work on our Facebook page or on our Instagram socials. Do check that out. But we are really excited about our very overdue and new website at www.als.org.au. So please do check that out. Between now and next program, look after each other. Thank you from myself and from Wayne Nunnup. Thanks for your time, Wayne.
Thanks very much.
It's time to end our program. We look forward to your company again next fortnight.